So, all right, Deuteronomy 18 here this afternoon, Deuteronomy 18. And I have been having some questions about various things as I opened the door for the occult teaching here. But I'm not going to necessarily answer some of those questions. I'm still laying a foundation. And so I just want to, again, if you have questions about some things you want me to check on, I've been doing some research, and I am shocked, but I'm not shocked or surprised at how much this is actually, the occult is actually accepted and even practiced in so-called Christianity today. Let me remind you, before we read this passage, I'm going to remind you the definition of the word occult, O-C-C-U-L-T. We're not talking about a cult or false Christian religion, as they sometimes call it. The occult, the word itself means hidden. It means to conceal. It relates to the unseen spirit world. Something hidden from the eye or understanding. Something invisible, secret, unknown, undiscovered, or undetected. And we see here, there's many warnings about this, especially in the Old Testament, but there's also, they're repeated in the New Testament. It says here, Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, when thou art come unto the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those, of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, child sacrifice, or that useth divination. We saw that last week. Remember, divination speaks of foretelling the future events or discovering things secret or obscure by the aid of superior beings or by other than human means. So again, as we understand that divination, we also saw it last week, observer of times, one who observes signs or omens, using astrology or various things, observer of times, or an enchanter. Remember, I told you the root word of enchantment is chant. So we're talking about magicians here. It's the act of producing certain wonderful effects by the invocation or aid of demons or the agency of supposed spirits. All right, so then a witch or a charmer or a consulter of familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And he tells them that on verse 14, for these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. And the question I raised last week was, can a professing believer get caught up in practices of the occult? Ephesians 4:27 again says, neither give place to the devil. I believe there are many who are giving place to the devil by way of some of these things. Now, the fourth one on the list here is a witch. A witch speaks of a woman who, by compact with the devil, practices sorcery or enchantment. Now, one form of witchcraft that's that was started in the 1900s, sometimes is called white witchery, is Wicca, W-I-C-C-A, a form of witchcraft developed in the 1900s, in particular in England. And sometimes referred to as white magic and various things. But I want to remind you of how much we have tolerated witchcraft here in America. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3, and then you'll understand why I'm using this illustration. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Galatians 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? The word bewitched there means to charm, fascinate, to please to such a degree as to take away the power of resistance. Who hath bewitched you? Who took away from you the power of resistance? Galatians chapter 5, talking about the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. And this is why I said last week, why would churches have to be warned about witchcraft as being a work of the flesh? Notice witchcraft is on the list. And you go down to how he summarizes this at the end of verse 21, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you before in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How do we inherit the kingdom of God? By being a believer in Jesus Christ. They're not believers in Jesus Christ. I don't care if they call themselves white witches or whatever. They're spiritualist churches and all those things. They're of the devil. Well, I was reminding myself of this, and sorry to say, as a young person, I was allowed to watch this. Some, I don't remember that we watched it all. But I was reminding myself of the TV program Bewitched here this last week. Bewitched is an American fantasy sitcom television series that originally aired for 8 seasons on ABC from September 17, 1964 to March 25, 1972. It is about a witch who marries an ordinary mortal man and vows to lead the life of a typical suburban housewife. The show was popular, finishing as the second rated show in America during its debut season. That's how popular witchcraft was in America in 1964 and 65. The second rated show in America during its first season, staying in the top 10 for its first 3 seasons and ranking in 11th place for both seasons 4 and 5. The show continues to be seen throughout the world in syndication and on recorded media. Hanna-Barbera produced the opening and closing animation credits. Can you see Bewitched, Samantha flying? Can you see her flying through on her broom? Hanna-Barbera was responsible for the opening and closing animation. In 2002, Bewitched was ranked number 50 on TV Guide's 50 greatest TV shows of all time. It made it in the top 50 in so-called Christian America. In 1997, the same magazine ranked the season 2 episode Divided He Falls number 48 on their list of the 100 greatest episodes of all time. America has entertained itself with an abomination of the Lord. That's the only other way we can put it. And you add a little bit of laughter, the laughter track to it, and everybody doesn't see any harm. There's no harm. It's fun. It's a fun TV program. Noah is an abomination to the Lord. And Christians did not even see it. It was such a serious offense in the kingdom of Israel. The law of the land for Israel was that thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now, the sad history about that is here in America, colonial America, the so-called witch trials, the late 1600s in colonial America, 200 were accused of being a witch. 30 were found guilty, 19 were executed by hanging, 50 died in jail. But not every one of them was necessarily a witch. I want you to consider there's so many extremes each direction on this, but the reality is we have entertained ourselves with witchcraft. Notice with me 1 Samuel 15. But can I remind you that any time we rebel against God, it's as if we're practicing witchcraft? Again, going back to King Saul, as we use an example to start this series, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." We can might as well say divination or any. That's an all-inclusive term there in verse 23. Witchcraft is talking about any of this stuff from the spirit world, the dark side, as we would say. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." I believe for the most part, God has rejected our nation because we have rejected what God has to say in his word. The next one on the list is a charmer. A charmer is one who practiced the casting of spells to curse or bless someone. Some of these practices are still found and practiced in India and the Far East. They use incantations that are spoken gently to bring hearers under a spell. Let's be Isaiah chapter 19. Isaiah chapter 19. Alright, so who are we talking about as being a charmer? There is charming going on yet today, and I'll give you some examples here in a moment. Isaiah 19, verses 1 through 4. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence. Notice, the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight everyone against his brother, and everyone against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. Well, that sounds like America. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. But notice again the mention here of charmers. Notice me, Psalm 58. This is used as an illustration here, Psalm 58. Can you see the man in India playing his pipe? And all of a sudden the snake is moving to the charm, the charmer. So what we're talking about is the charmer. Psalm, what did I say, 58, verse 1. Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Notice their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They're like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Notice that illustration. The snake charmer that is able to charm a snake. As you think about the modern day examples of this, psychologists and psychiatrists fit into this category. You know how this works. Hopefully you've never paid your $100 to sit, in somebody's psychiatrist's couch. They get you all comfortable. They talk in a calm voice, get you all relaxed so that you'll bear your deepest heart secrets. Do you realize that many of those so-called psychologists who are really charmers get people to believe sometimes that they had things happen in their childhood that they have no way of proving ever happened? Charmers. There's another charmer. Last I knew, they had an office and vehicle and everything in the office building near Gateway Mall. Probably seen his advertisements on the side of his vehicle. Hypnotist. You're getting sleepy. Sleepy. They charm you so that they get control. That's exactly what happens with this. There's another way that this takes place. People are charmed with the music of this world. Why is there so much wickedness that comes out of the music of this world? It's because they've been charmed. And so everybody sits. They've got they're totally tuned out of the world. They've totally tuned out their families, everything. And they're being hypnotized, charmed by the music of this world. Something else that happens to cause this charming is Saturday morning cartoons. I guess they're Saturday morning cartoons. I don't know. We don't ever watch anything on TV anymore. Think about this. Growing up, they had all these cartoons. It's very interesting. Some of those cartoons included elements of the occult, preparing the way for children to accept these things. The next one on the list is a consulter with familiar spirits. We've talked about this in relation to King Saul. Look at the references in Leviticus here in a moment. But a consulter of familiar spirits is one who contacts an evil spirit and attempts to contact the dead. We'll talk more about that here under necromancy in a moment. But the word consulter carries the idea of being a vessel. So this familiar spirit from the spirit world is looking for a vessel by whom they can speak. That's exactly what happens in 1 Samuel 28. Notice the Spirit comes up. The God came up out of the earth. And all of a sudden, she's shocked and surprised when she actually has somebody that looks like Samuel showing up in her crystal ball or whatever she saw. But we're talking about an evil spirit looking for a vessel, someone who can speak on their behalf. So literally, they're speaking through that person. I will never forget the time that we dealt with a demon-possessed man when I was a youth pastor in my wife's home church. I remember his first name, Rob. And very interesting, he was starting to fear for his life. I mean, he'd wake up with bruises on his side because of the spiritual battle that was going on in him. Well, because he was fearful for committing suicide because of all the spirits that had taken control of his life, he asked for us to pray for him. We're not talking about a casting out of evil spirits. We simply gathered, men in the church gathered to pray for Rob. Literally, he went crazy, like a wild animal throughout the fellowship hall, jumping up on cabinets. He started tearing his shirt and everything. Well, it took seven of us to hold him down. Man about my size. As we were praying for him, literally, he would speak in other voices. This is real stuff, folks. This happens all around the world. This is real stuff. Rob had messed around with the occult, offering sacrifices in groves and all that kind of stuff. This is a real thing in America. When we were down in Sanderson, Texas, we learned that some of the teen girls were going along with other teenagers at their school. It's just a small town school, less than 1,000 people in the town. They were going to the cemetery. The cemetery to observe these rituals. This stuff is going on in America today. But again, these familiar spirits look for somebody to speak for them. Something that's related to this often involves a seance. They have a darkened room, candles and all that as they wait for the dead to speak. Remember the book, Heaven is for Real? These supposed after-death experiences are not true. They are not true. In fact, that remember the story, right? That young man, the boy, was that supposedly had this after-death experience. Well, he was saved and he says, I can't do that anymore. He comes out publicly and says, that was a lie. I said, what about I Dream of Jeannie? Rub this little genie bottle and you get your own genie. We have been indoctrinated with the practice of the occult with the sitcoms in America. It prepared the way for people to check these things out. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. So are these really people who are dead? They're coming back and communicating with people? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 is one verse that tells us no. Ecclesiastes 9 verses 5 and 6. The living know that they shall die. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 5. The living know that they shall die. I think we know that. Sometimes we live like we don't remember it. But notice, the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, and their hatred, and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun in this lifetime. They're not bringing these people back. If they were unbelievers, they're in a place called Hades, hell. They're not coming back to communicate with people. Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. Verses 9 and 10. Job chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. Let me ask you, so was that Samuel in 1 Samuel 28? I don't think so. I've shown you the reasons why. He that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. There is no reincarnation either, by the way. Notice with me Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. So I want to show you, here's an example of somebody who was in hell that wanted somebody to go back to talk to his family because they didn't want him to come, wanted them to come to the place where he was enduring forever and ever. It says here, Luke 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. So you notice here, this is not a parable, by the way. There's a certain rich man. There's a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. By the way, there's no purgatory. There's no annihilation. This is actually temporary suffering. This is temporary suffering right here. But it's not purgatory. It's not purgatory. This is the place they suffer until they stand before the great white throne judgment, before they're cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20. But Abraham said, son, son. Notice, Abraham calls him a son. This was an Israelite rich man. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. I will read between the lines there, and I really believe Abraham is saying, you know, you live for your money and not for God. So you're in hell now. Lazarus didn't have any money. He lived for God. There's absolutely no way that the Bible teaches here that Lazarus is now getting good things because he was poor. You know, there had to be faith. The Bible is very clear there had to be faith. So we can't read into other things with this, but notice it says in verse 26. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. It's established. You're not coming out of there. You're not coming out until the judgment day, as we understand later in Scripture. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Even as I was praying the other day, I thought of family members, based on their life, I know they're in hell today. And I thought of this verse as I was praying about that, about my, you know, extended family that needs to be saved. They're in hell crying out, don't come here! Don't come here! Believe in Jesus Christ. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the word of God. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Can I remind you that somebody coming from the dead is not going to change their minds? I believe King Saul died in rebellion against God. He bowed before Samuel. He did not bow before God. A consulter of evil spirits. The contrast, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, talks about the Spirit of God dwelling in believers. Listen to me, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to consider that a consulter of familiar spirits, that's that similar type of thing is where we get false teaching from as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Notice this statement. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice that. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is related to that strong delusion that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about. Very clearly, though, we see seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. A consulter of evil spirits. The next on the list is a wizard. A wizard is a man who uttered spells and magic formulae, a magical formula. A man who pretended to interpret ravings of a medium speaking of a spirit being, who pretended to interpret the ravings of a medium. A wizard is a conjurer, an enchanter, a sorcerer. I mentioned last week, as I was closing out that lesson, that today we live in a day when people are accepting Mormonism as Christianity. I did not remember this. I wasn't surprised by this when I was reminded of this, but Joseph Smith and his mother were active in the occult. That's what's behind him having an angel visiting him. Angel Moroni was not a good spirit. It was an evil spirit. Again, you notice, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. A wizard is a spiritist, one through whom a spirit speaks. So then you think about the Wizard of Oz. We have entertained ourselves for decades here in America. But that wasn't. There's a wicked and a good witch in that show. But the wizard was a pretend. He was a fake. They're all fakes because they're from another spirit world. Anyway, a little riled up here. Leviticus. The more I've studying this, the more I've realized how much even Christians have been deceived by this stuff. Well, it was a funny show, Bewitched. It was a funny show. Getting us to accept the wicked practices of witchcraft. Leviticus 19, verse 31. This refers to more than one of these practices. Leviticus 19, verse 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. All right, so we just saw that one. Neither seek after wizards. All right, so based on the definition that I just mentioned a little while ago, Samantha's family, every once in a while they would visit according to this sitcom. And so there were wizards because her father would visit, an uncle, I think, or whatever. Neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Also, you add a little bit of a laugh track to the sitcom. And all of a sudden, you don't feel so defiled anymore. Oh, this is a funny show. Notice chapter 20, verse 6. Obviously, a lot of people in America thought it was a good show. Rated second in the 1960s. Oh, that's a pretty troublesome time, wasn't it? Think about that time. And the soul that turneth, verse 6, Leviticus 20, verse 6, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring. We're talking about spiritual adultery after them. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Now, Israel was told to put to death a witch. Here, God says, I will deal with them. I will kill them. I will cut them off. That's what we're talking about, cutting off. They'll be cut off from among the people. Verse 27, a man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. So preacher, are you talking that we should have the witch trials again? No, I'm not saying that. But why is it in America, Christianity is increasingly illegal, but witchcraft is okay? That's where we are in so-called Christian America. Harry Potter's allowed in the public school. My Bible is not. That's where we are in America. It has been legalized and protected. Wickedness. Total wickedness. Harry Potter. Wizard of Oz. All of these things. We've been prepared to receive these things. Notice Isaiah chapter 8. I love this. This tells you exactly what wizards do. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. Isaiah 8:19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards. Notice how Isaiah, the Lord tells Isaiah here what they do. Notice wizards that peep and that mutter. The peeping there is a chirping sound, right? So you think about baby birds. Chirp, 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 chirp. And you can hear, you see a nest and you can hear all these little baby birds chirping away. Or little chicks. That's what wizards do. They have this chirping sound that they make, evidently, as they're receiving a message from the Spirit. And they mutter. What? I can't hear you. I can't understand you. You're muttering. We were told not to mutter in school. Wizards, they mutter. Should not a people seek unto their God? Well, that's a good, honest question there. For the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony. Notice, we should be seeking after the law of God. And America has rejected God, and so they're going after the occult. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So think about this. General Michael Flynn promotes the... he's one of us. He's a patriot. General Michael Flynn promotes the gospel of Americanism, not the gospel of Christ. References sevenfold rays and prays in the name of legions, not Jesus. This is from Sons of Liberty Media. That's the title of the article. Let me read for you what happened here. When he spoke in Kenneth Copeland's building to a crowd gathered there, he preached a gospel which is no gospel at all, Galatians 1 verses 8 through 10. Of Americanism. In fact, what was amazing is that when he prayed, this is General Michael Flynn. You remember the same person, right? Supposedly this American hero. As he was praying, he referenced the sevenfold rays, which has no basis in Scripture, and then proceeded to pray in your name, which I suppose is to whomever he is praying, and then he adds, in the name of your legions. Yet he does not mention Jesus the Christ. So who's he praying to? Sounds to me like Lucifer. That's going on in America amongst our so-called leaders. The root word of wizard is wise. You think about the wise men of Old Testament kings. Very interesting. James 3:15 talks about earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. You think about Matthew chapter 2, the wise men from the east. They were actually stargazers who somewhere along the way came across the truth, probably in Babylon, from the Hebrew scriptures and so on. And they understood, evidently, according to the prophecy given by Balaam in Numbers, that the star and the scepter. That's why they understood the star represented a king that was born the king of the Jews. But again, they were probably originally wise men for a Babylonian king or a Persian king or something like that. It must be Esther chapter 6. Esther chapter 6. Again, we're talking about wizards. Esther chapter 6. Verses 12 through 14. Oops, I'm sorry, Ezra. That won't work. It begins with an E. It's like, wait a minute, that's not right. All right, Esther chapter 6. All right, this looks like this is going to be what I'm looking for. Verse 12. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But when Haman hasted to his house, mourning and having his head covered, humiliation, this is after he had to parade Mordecai throughout the streets and say, this is what the king wants to do to those who honor him. Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Notice this statement. I had forgotten this until I was checking these things out. Then said his wise men. Haman had his own set of wise men. And Zeresh, his wife, said unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, thou shalt surely fall before him. Oh, Haman, this looks like a bad omen. That's literally what they're saying to him. And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman into the banquet that Esther had prepared. A wizard. Wizardry is seen throughout Scripture, and it is an abomination to God. Next one is a necromancer, one who calls up the spirits of the dead through a medium. Necromancy, our English word necromancy, is taken from two Greek words for dead and divination. Dead and divination. It's the art of revealing future events by means of a pretended communication with the dead. This imposture is prohibited. That's the definition in Webster's 1828 dictionary. This imposture is prohibited, of course, by Scripture, as he's talking about there. Sometimes this is done through seances. The wife of Abraham Lincoln held seances in the White House. It's also very interesting. Modern Bible corruptors, Westcott and Hort, were part of the Ghost Guild. I don't think it was Hort. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Both of them were involved in the same types of things, dabbling and all that. I think it was Westcott. He was a minister of a chapel. And the story is told of him sitting in this darkened chapel where he was a pastor, a minister. And he'd sit there and wait for dead spirits to show up. So the nights before church services on the Lord's Day, he'd be holding an assembly with dead spirits and then have Christians gathering on the next day. So we would want modern Bibles from something like that. Nope. Think about that. That's what the modern Bibles are based upon. Westcott and Hort. Again, necromancy. Can I remind you that Roman Catholics practice necromancy all the time as they pray to dead saints? I was reminded of this as I was looking at some things. I was reminded that evidently Mother Teresa still has a Twitter account, at least as of 2 years ago, because the Pope tweeted Mother Teresa, evidently for some advice or I don't know. So, anyway, she evidently still has a Twitter account, even though she's out of purgatory now, I think. That's what I heard. All right, so here's the White House. There's a title, again, Sons of Liberty Media. Was necromancy going on in the Oval Office under Donald Trump? This article is based on Q and all that kind of stuff, you know, Q PSYOP and stuff that's going on, you know, QAnon or whatever. And somebody brought up the fact that evidently QAlerts.app and various places talked about this necromancy that was going on in the Oval Office when Donald Trump was in office. There's this entry on a Q site that says this: "Rest in peace, Mr. President," talking about JFK. "Through your wisdom and strength, since your tragic death, patriots have planned, installed, and by the grace of God activated the beam of light. We will forever remember your sacrifice. May you look down from above and continue to guide us as we ring the bell of freedom and destroy those who wish to sacrifice our children, our way of life, and our world. We, the people." And then this statement is made: "Prayer said every single day in the OO, JFK secret societies, where we go one, we go all, Q." So let me ask you, is he this great Christian leader? Wickedness in our White House! Okay. So this is where I was reminded about all these things, because I remembered, in fact, I was reminded as I was listening to something, that Nancy Reagan really created a stir back in the 1980s. I wish I could tell you which, you know, to give credit where credit is due. I wish I could tell you which article this came from. So I wrote down both of them because before I printed this off, I forgot to do this. First Ladies Who Brought Witchcraft to the White House. Another article, there are several that I looked at, but Astrology and Metaphysics in the White House. In 1988, Reagan's former chief of staff, Donald Reagan, included a bombshell in his book For the Record that Nancy consulted astrologer Joan Quigley. He wrote that virtually every major move and decision the Reagans made during my time as White House Chief of Staff was cleared in advance with a woman in San Francisco who drew up horoscopes to make certain that the planets were in a favorable alignment for the Enterprise. Regan noted that those moves included setting the timing for summit meetings, presidential debates, the timing and date of the State of the Union addresses, and every takeoff and landing of Air Force One. Nancy kept Quigley on a $3,000 a month retainer and consulted her by phone up to two or three times a day. After the White House and Mrs. Reagan confirmed that Quigley had been consulted on matters of timing, but not policy, the media had a field day. The religious right didn't hold back either. Vice President of the Moral Majority, Cal Thomas, wrote, "This is the last straw for a lot of religious people who treated Reagan as their political savior." Can I remind you that Donald Trump is a plagiarist? I was reminded when I was reading all this, researching all this stuff. Make America Great Again did not start with Donald Trump. That was something Ronald Reagan said back in 1980. And then I was reminded of the article that I read a while back, too. They're all actors. Donald Trump was a Hollywood movie star. Ronald Reagan came from Hollywood. They're all actors. Here's how they do this. They get us to listen to all, "Oh, yeah, yeah, all right, you're our man," while they're doing all these other things. Donald Trump brought in the pandemic. He's the father of the vaccine. While he's focusing on all these things, he's still trying to take away our weapons, our protection. Donald Trump was not a friend of the Second Amendment. We have been duped and deceived by wizards and all of these people, familiar spirits. So, Reverend Selena Fox of Circle Sanctuary remembers the revelations about Nancy Reagan. The 1980s were a time before the cyber communications of email, blogs, and social media. During that era, the communications I had with other pagans, that's how she described Reverend Pagan. Those don't seem to go together, but anyway. We're mostly face-to-face at festivals and other events. In discussing the media reports about astrological consultations in the Reagan White House, some of us expressed concerns about many of the intense negative reactions that emerged in the country when this became visible. Yet not all press coverage had derogatory dimensions. In fact, for me and some other pagans, I knew the news was an indicator that astrology and some other metaphysical practices were becoming more widespread and commonplace in society. They were excited about that. And then they quote somebody from Phaedra Bonewits. How'd you like to have a last name Bonewits and being a part of being a witch? Bonewits. Reverend Fox added that she wasn't surprised that Nancy Reagan consulted an astrologer. After all, both Ronald and Nancy had roots in old Hollywood. Where consulting astrologers, many of whom were friends, was a common practice. I am glad that First Lady Nancy Reagan mentioned her astrology consultations the following year in her autobiography, My Turn. Astrological consultations during the Reagan presidency became a matter of public record. Nancy Reagan is hardly the first White House resident to seek guidance from astrology or other metaphysical methods. President Lincoln and First Lady Mary Todd were said to have spiritual seances in the White House to contact their dead son, Willie. First Lady Florence Harding consulted with the astrologer and seer Madame Marcia during the Harding presidency. Both President Theodore Roosevelt and President Franklin D. Roosevelt were also interested in astrology. Former First Lady and current presidential candidate, this shows the dating of this, Hillary Clinton consulted extensively with Jean Houston during the Clinton presidency. In 1986, reporter Bob Woodward included in his book, The Choice, the news that Mrs. Clinton spoke with Eleanor Roosevelt and Mahatma Gandhi under the guidance of Ms. Houston. He also noted that there were periods in which Houston stayed at the White House for days at a time, particularly while Mrs. Clinton was writing the book, It Takes a Village. Well, now we know the devilish source of that book. That's reality. That's what's going on. So we type this together, sorcerers. Sorcery speaks of magic, enchantment, witchcraft, the power of commanding evil spirits, divination by the assistance or supposed assistance of evil spirits. Again, this these things, some of these interrelate with one another. Revelation 9 says that they refuse to repent of their sorceries. And remember, I gave you a message on pharmakia. Let me catch the wording of that again. Revelation 18. By the way, drugs have a major part in all this stuff. There's a reason why pharmakia, pharmacy are related words. Talking about the destruction of Babylon, especially economic and political Babylon. Verse 23 says, "In the light of the candle shall no more shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." Pharmakia. "And in her was found the blood of the prophets, the saints, of all that were slain upon the earth." This is a murderous religion. Soothsaying. Balaam was called a soothsayer. Speaks of foretelling future events without inspiration. Did you hear what I just said? Foretelling future events without inspiration. Inspiration only relates to this book right here. So when these so-called televangelists, which are in reality soothsayers, I did not stutter, you noticed. They are soothsayers. Kenneth Copeland saw no problem with the prayer that Flynn brought in their so-called church or their gathering. He saw nothing wrong with praying in the name of legions. That is a devilish, false teaching. As we close, notice with me Matthew 12. We need discernment in these last days. We need discernment. And I believe this is a good summary of what is happening in America in relation to these things. Matthew 12, verses 43 through 45. "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he said, I will return unto my house, from whence I came out." It's talking about indwelling a person. "And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished." Notice, empty, vacant, swept, speaking of being cleaned up, and garnished. Oh, it was decorated, but it was not occupied. "Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last day of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also with this wicked generation." I'm going to close telling you the rest of the story of Rob. After we prayed for his deliverance from evil spirits, I learned as I was trying to disciple him, I'm saying that on purpose, trying to disciple him with the Word of God. Well, what I found out was, as I kept meeting with him, trying to show him things that the Bible said, I learned that he was studying with a Mormon group. And I tried to show him the error of Mormonism. He could not see it. He was totally blinded to anything I tried to show him from Scripture and showing him what they believed, what they taught. I do not know. I lost contact with him because there was no way I was going to continue. I don't know if he ended up something worse than he ever started with. I don't know. But that's the reality of it. Okay, a life that's emptied needs Jesus Christ. Right. Or they are open to some. All of this stuff is taking a stronghold in America in this generation. Think about that. That's a powerful application of what Jesus said there. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be discerning in these last days. I really believe so many have been deceived with Disney and all these different things, Lord. Chronicles of Narnia, all of this stuff. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be discerning in these last days. Because if we're not careful, we can open ourselves up to things of the spirit world that will be bad influences in our lives. I pray that you'd help us in Jesus' name.